Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hello, friends, and welcome. This is Danny Morrell with episode number 22 of the Real Estate Sales Show. I am your host, as always, and today I've got a special guest. And I mentioned that it's a special guest because the reality is that anytime that you can meet one of the country's best at anything, there's a lot to learn. So before we get started, I want you to grab your pen, grab a notepad, get ready to take a lot of copious notes, because today you're going to meet one of my great friends, and most importantly, one of the best people in title and in the title insurance business in the country. Everybody, please say hello to my good friend, Miss Deborah Galley. Deborah, say hello, please.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
So you know what's kind of funny is that obviously we're, you know, we do business, but we're friends. So I think we're gonna have a lot of fun on this conversation. What do you think?
Absolutely.
So Deborah, you are obviously missing your better half, which is Mr. Tim Galley, which together you guys formulate this amazing title team. I'm going to start off by asking you, how long have you been in this business?
We've been in the business 26 years together.
Holy moly, 26 years.
Yes.
And you say together. Why do you say together? Did one start first, or how did that work?
Yeah, we started independently. I started 33 years ago. I started inside as a receptionist, and then got out of the business for a couple of years. I was a good old boys club back then. They told me to go get sales experience, which I did.
Okay.
I sold Volkswagen for 2 years, became top two in the country. And then I got a call back from them to say, okay, we'll hire you in sales. So I started back by myself. And then it was just kind of ironic. We became a team later.
Okay. Well, time out, because you see, and by the way, everybody, if you're listening, this morning during our company role play, I mentioned to everybody the fact that you got to become a better listener. And I don't know if you caught something, but when you become a great listener and when you become a great salesperson, listening is the key. So Deborah, you said something that I want to kind of touch on for a little bit. You said they told you to go get sales experience, and you did.
And I did. Absolutely. I was determined.
Yeah. You didn't say they told me to go get sales experience and then I cried, or they told me to go get sales experience and then I quit. Or they told me to go get sales experience and then I started feeling sorry for myself. You had a roadblock in your life, right? They told you to go do something. Specifically back then, I can only imagine it was tougher for women trying to get business, and you just went out and did it. So take me back there and talk to me about the spirit that was going on inside of you to get the job done.
Well, that was a fun time because it was definitely a good old boys club. I was sales secretary and I wanted to become a sales rep so bad. I loved what all my sales reps were doing and I loved the thought of being a sales rep. Went in, I had five different male managers pull me into an office and just start throwing things at me and saying, you can't be a rep. Women just can't go out there in the field. This was a long time ago. So they said, go get sales experience and then contact us later. So I thought, well, what better sales experience can you get than car sales? So I called a couple of the dealerships, same thing. It was almost all men, so it was a little bit difficult. But I got hired at the Volkswagen dealership in Pasadena. And the owner there just really took me under his wing, taught me everything I needed to know. And I learned so much about sales at that period of time. Again, was top two in the country, so it was kind of fun.
So top two in the country. And if you don't mind me asking, just give me your age range back then. Just your range.
I was 19, 20.
You were 19,
I think I
was 20 years old. Wow, that's awesome. And Deborah, I know this about you. And you know, we're obviously going to get to the success that you are now experiencing in a little bit. But I don't really think that we could truly help our listeners, nor allow people to really understand your story, if you don't kind of talk a little bit about your background a little bit, because everything is great now, but it hasn't always been great. So whatever you feel like sharing, please share.
I think that's why I was so determined to be successful. I come from a wonderful family, full of love and very religious and just wonderful. But the belief in money being evil is very, very strong. Money's not a good thing. So I think when you're raised that way, you have a little bit to overcome. My first job was at 11. My dad left at 11. So I worked in a convalescent hospital in a laundry room from 11 to 16 and gave my mom my paycheck every single pay period just to help her get by. And she needed that for the mortgage, which was probably one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to me because it taught me a fabulous work ethic. It taught me to never give up. It taught me that that wasn't the life that I wanted. Nobody in my family was ever successful. So I watched people at church. And then I heard somebody say once, I think it was Brian Tracy, that scientists say that every cell in your body changes every 7 years. So to me, as a 14-year-old kid, when I heard that, I realized, wow, if every cell in your body changes every 7 years, that means technically in 7 years, I can be whoever I want to be.
Oh, my God.
So I focused on what I wanted to become.
Oh, my God. God bless you. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think for athletes hitting a, you know, baseball players hitting a base hit gives them a high, and for basketball player hitting a free throw gives me a high. For me, what gives me a high, like I literally get emotional, I get goosebumps, is hearing people break through. And specifically, Deborah, the spirit, the mindset behind it is what intrigues me, because here you are, a young girl at the time, 11 years old, dad takes off, you go out and you work at 11. I mean, my son is 9, so that resonates with me, right? And you could have made excuses, and you could have lived in doubt, and you could have lived in fear, but you decided to make it happen. You decided to consider it done, right?
Consider it done.
And where do you think that came from? Because, Deborah, we know in this industry so many people struggle with small little roadblocks that they make into mountains. What do you think that came from?
I think it comes from, I think it comes from a mom who did always say, you can do anything you want to. You can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want. Just that their limiting beliefs wouldn't allow you to go too high in doing that. Right. So again, watching people at church, I would always kind of pinpoint that top person that I wanted to be more like. And I would just mimic everything they did.
It's funny you say that, because if you know my story was I used to look at Beverly Hills 90210 and I used to say, well, how come they can live like that? You know, and that's what I wanted. So good for you. And then you met Tim, who is obviously your soulmate, your partner, your everything.
100%.
And how did that go about? And how did it go about you guys getting into the title business?
Well, I met Tim when I was 14. So I met him my freshman year in high school, which again, just another blessing in life. Just, it always happens the way it's supposed to be. But while Tim was out, you know, playing football and doing all of that, he was out with my friends. I was working in the laundry room. I worked 6 days a week, every day but Saturday. So once I got into title, Tim saw how wonderful it was and decided he wanted to get into it as well. And we started at two different companies. And the fun thing, and I love this story, because the company that I was working for, it was a difficult start. I mean, you go home every day. I went home every day my first year crying, every single day.
Wow.
Because while agents are out prospecting, if they get a door closed on their face, they can go to another neighborhood or another door. But when you start out in the business as a title rep, you're calling on the same offices. You're limited to 10 offices. And when somebody slams the door in your face, you have to go back the next afternoon smiling.
Wow.
So I'd get back in my car, I'd go home crying every day. After about 6 months, I got a call from the manager who had an opportunity to hire a big wig rep team in another area, in my area, and said they wanted to replace me. So basically I was kind of fired, which is to me an awesome story. I love that. So Tim went to his manager at the time, and his manager said, well, why don't you come aboard as a team? Did you ever think about working together? Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, we never thought about it, but let's give it a shot. What can it hurt? And that was back in 1990.
Wow. And here we are. What is that? 26 years later? Or is that
6 years ago? The greatest sentence ever said. Why don't you guys start working together as a team? It was pretty cool.
So let's talk about that for a second. And let's talk about your journey. Back then, 26 years ago, how many title orders, which by the way, I know we have a lot of real estate people, mortgage people, title people. We have just business people that listen to our show. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in. There's a lot to learn from these episodes. How many title orders were you doing back then?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to, just by memory, I'm going to guess maybe 30 a month.
So 30 a month. And in the title world, how is that? Is that good? Is that so-so?
Well, just starting that's just starting out. It's okay, but it's not killing it.
Okay. All right. It still seems to me like at that time, if I'm thinking average real estate agent is going to open 1 to 2 deals a month, you found 30 to 45 people or so to trust you with their business. Is that correct? Is that
accurate? Yeah, after about the first 6 months or so, yeah. But you know what's really fun is we opened 29 yesterday.
In one day?
In one day.
Oh, so that, so, gives, you, so that gives you an idea.
Yeah, that's fun.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So tell me about this. You obviously, you know, there's you and Tim, and you're out there, you're new in this business. How did you get from zero to 30 orders in a month back then? What did you do back then?
Persistent. Absolutely. 100%. Just being persistent, because everybody says no. Everybody always says no at the beginning, whether they're buying a house, a car, whatever it is, they always say no. So it was really just being persistent and being available. And Tim and I have always taken a different approach to our business. When we first started, we realized that we weren't going to make a difference unless we could truly make a difference. So we would go to our clients and say, just give us your tough deals. Give us your hard ones. And we really took it upon ourselves to learn about title. What is it? How does the industry work? We didn't just go pass out donuts and hope for title orders. We figured out how to close tough deals.
You know, it's so funny you say that, Deborah, because, you know, I remember as an agent, you were not my title rep. But I remember when I took on the responsibility of growing a brokerage, and when I realized how big I wanted that brokerage to become, I knew that in order to provide our agents with the service that they deserved, I had to go out and find the best. And I remember calling you.
Yeah.
And I called you for one reason, is because I knew you knew how to do the damn job. Like, I knew that, you know? And so my question is this: I think in our industry, people don't know how to do the job as well as they should, right? What are your thoughts about that, and how could they improve their customer service and their knowledge of the industry?
I think learning about the industry is number one. I think the more that you know about the industry, the easier your transactions can be. And I see a lot of people getting hung up on working the file all day long and not getting new business. And that's why we have the roller coaster ride. I always tell people, it makes me a little bit crazy that people only prospect 3 hours a day. I think we have a mindset that I only have to do 3 hours a day and then I'm done for the day. I can go work on files or go to the beach or whatever I do. But if you truly want to be successful, you can't do that 3 hours a day.
Right.
It just can't happen. I mean, we prospected 9 hours a day. After 9 hours, then we would go home and then we would get our paperwork done and we would work until midnight. I remember sometimes being exhausted working till 2 and then getting up again at 4 o'clock in the morning just to get stuff ordered and get stuff taken care of. But if you're not prospecting 8 to 9 hours a day, I'm not sure you can ever hit that superstar status. If you want to hit 7 figures a year, you've got to make it happen.
You know, and it's funny, Deborah, because that, you know, that's what I've always wanted. And I think there's something to be said that I think there's three types of people in our industry. There's the people that quite honestly have no idea what they're doing in the industry. There's the people that are going to do okay and get by. And then there's like that 5 to 7% that wants to flat out rule the world, change the world, and be a rock star. And it sounds to me like ever since you were that little girl watching in the church for the top-notch people, you've always had that little sense that you wanted to be a rock star. Is that correct?
Absolutely, 100%. Because not being able to buy that pair of shoes or clothes or even eat out, you know, those are things that you remember as a kid. You want to be able to the words, I can't afford it, would just kill me to hear those words.
Yep. I totally get that. And it's so funny because that's kind of what drove me. So let's talk about that for a second. I think psychologically speaking, there might be some listeners right now that maybe are in a position in their lives where they cannot afford whatever it is that they want, whether it's a new custom suit or a new automobile or to, you know, create a dream home or to go on vacation. We're in a business where you should be able to afford those things, and yet some struggle with that. Why do you think that is?
I think people have a fear of success, and I think people have a fear of money. And I hear agents all the time almost sabotaging themselves because they don't feel like they deserve to be successful. And that's a shame because everybody does, and it's not an evil thing to have money and be successful because you can do so many wonderful things with that.
Right.
And I think, too, a lot of people get in the business and they think that when they're prospecting, they're trying to talk somebody into selling their home. And I tell people all the time, just like when I sold cars and all the other car salesmen would try to talk somebody into buying a car. You can't talk somebody into selling their house.
No, you can't.
It would be ridiculous. All you're doing is looking for the few people that want to sell their house. And then you're the best person for the job to help them.
Yeah.
And if with that approach, it kind of makes it fun.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, but it's something that that my coach Mike says all the time. He says, this business is simple. There's people that want to buy and there's people that want to sell. All you got to do is just get in the way.
Yeah, matchmaker.
That's it. That's all it is. Now, getting in the way is the part that I think, you know, lead generation is the most important part of your business. And, you know, I have a very difficult time with the fact that, forget about 3 hours a day, it's tough for real estate agents to do something for 1 hour a day.
Yeah.
And the reality is, Deborah, is 1 hour a day, there's no way you can build enough momentum to get that machine going. And yet here you are saying that you prospected for 9 hours a day looking for business. You would arrive at the house, you would work till 12 or 1 in the morning, and then get right back up, you know, good old 4:30 crew since back then, and do it all over again. If I was listening to this show and I wanted to experience more of that tenacity, what would I need to be thinking about to pull that out of me?
I think you have to almost become obsessed with it. And it's interesting because when 2000 rolled around and there was all the talk about Y2K and all of that, I found myself for the first time ever in my life almost in a slump of not being able to set a goal. And I heard people say in the past they couldn't set goals, they didn't know how to goal set. And I thought, wow, that's stupid. How do you not know how to goal set? But all of a sudden, I found myself in this weird funk because everybody was going to talk about the world coming to an end. I really allowed myself to get into a funk thinking, how do I set goals? What do I do? And it really, really sabotaged our business that year. It was difficult. I realized at that point that people do struggle with it for various reasons. You have to understand what those reasons are for yourself. And I think you have to internalize it. You have to become absolutely obsessed with what you want. You have to think about it. You have to eat, sleep, and breathe your industry. And that's what Tim and I still do to this day. We eat, sleep, and breathe title. That's what it's all about.
You absolutely do. And Deborah, I think it's important for us to know, and I think it's important for us to talk about that. I think it's very clear that you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the reality is that I think various people, for whatever reason, are not clear with what they want. As a matter of fact, they spend their time focused on what they don't want, which is, you know, the bills are behind or whatever the case may be. You know, I think there's another specifically, there's a lady listening right now. Maybe she's a single mom. Maybe she's just getting in the business. Maybe whatever the case may be. Yet she wants to change her life. If you could give her a couple of pointers as to what to do to change her life, what would you say would be the top 2 to 3 things to do?
I think the first one is you have to find what you love. And I think we all have days in our business, myself included, in fact, just recently, where you go home and go, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Yeah. But you have to get past that day because you have to find the passion of it. Like last night, I was just bouncing off walls, so excited about the business and about passionate about our business, because it's, you have to look for the blessings in the business. Mm-hmm. Every day is not going to be easy. They call it a job, not playtime. It's a job. So you go to work, you work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, whatever you decide to do, but you have to be passionate about it. So I try to tell my clients, if you don't like working with this type of clientele, don't work with them.
Yeah.
Identify what your perfect client is. Is it older people? Is it single people? Is it that woman that needs help, that single man that needs help? What is it? Identify who your perfect client is, and then just make a conscious effort to go find them. Mm-hmm. Whether you're at Starbucks, getting your nails done, at the grocery store, door knocking, calling, whatever it is, constantly be thinking about your perfect client, because you will attract that. What you think about is what you attract.
Do you feel that, I know this is going to sound kind of weird, but do you feel that you attracted us?
Absolutely. Positively. Yeah. Because the same energy. I love, love, love being around positive energy.
Right. Absolutely. So now let's take a little bit of a different step. There might be a title rep out there listening. You know, besides prospecting 9 hours a day and besides focusing on your ideal client, is there something that you could specifically share with title reps that would help them to improve their business?
Again, I think when things changed for me, and I remember the day clearly, I remember walking through an office and there's title stuff everywhere from all the different title people. And I realized almost like somebody knocked me upside my head, and I realized I'm not competing with these other title people. I'm just not. I'm not competing with any other title person. I'm competing with me. Mm-hmm. I'm competing with Deborah Galley. Tim's competing with Tim Galley. And if I wake up every morning and I do what I'm supposed to do, and I plan every weekend to do for the following week what I'm supposed to do, I win.
Yes.
And when that became clear, I feel like our business just skyrocketed, because I wasn't any more worried about what everybody else was doing. And I think whether you're a title rep or a lender or an agent. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. Get out, let that out of your head and just get into your own head and help yourself.
Absolutely. It's funny because when you start worrying about what other people are doing or thinking or whatever the case may be, you know, your energy shifts.
Yeah, and it's usually negative.
Yeah, and it's so funny that you say that, Deborah, because I think you are positively one of the fiercest competitors that I know. And yet, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that you're fiercely competitive with yourself.
Absolutely. Only with me.
Only with you. So how do you do that, and what do you compete with yourself at? Like, I know for me, I compete with how big I could stretch myself, how big I could stretch the vision for our company, how much I can help the real estate community. That's why I started the podcast. How much I can share my gift and my passion with other people. How many homes we can sell as a company, obviously. I'm competing with myself at everything.
Yeah.
What do you compete with yourself at?
I think building the perfect day, number one, and there is no perfect day because the day seems to fall apart halfway through. I've heard Mike many times. The first year I went to Mike Ferry 26 years ago, my business doubled when we left. And when I say my, of course, I mean Tim and I. Our business doubled as soon as we left Mike Ferry. And I think that I just totally lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You went to see Mike Ferry and your business doubled.
Oh, the perfect morning. I remember Mike Ferry saying, just have the perfect morning. If you have the perfect morning, everything else falls into place. Yeah. And the perfect morning absolutely has to be there. You have to, whatever that means to you. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning would just kill me at this point. I can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I admire that you guys can do that. I can't. But I do get up early. I do get my workout in. I think you have to have the perfect morning. You have to be out of the house at a certain time. You have to be in the field. You can't let anything ruin your morning. And in the afternoon, you just try to stay as focused as possible.
And tell me this, Deborah, especially for, you know, that young girl whose dad wasn't a part of the game and who, you know, was told that she had to go get a sales experience. You know, I'm reading this book, Relentless. Have you read that one, by the way?
No, but I did download it.
Oh my God.
It's on Audible. I have not read it.
Oh my God, you have to read it. Let me put it to you this way. The first minute, you'll be hooked.
Awesome.
And the reason why you'll be hooked is because you're a cleaner. Remember that. Remember that word. Okay.
Okay.
A cleaner. It'll make sense later. But, you know, one of the things that the book speaks about is, you know, stop waiting for someone to give you the answer. Stop waiting for someone to show you how to do it. Stop waiting for someone to, you know, wave the magic wand. Go figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And I know I have that. I know I've been blessed with that. And I know you have that. Is it safe to say you have had to essentially, you know, we all have guidance, but have had to pretty much figure this thing out for Deborah's self,
because there's no guidance when you start in this industry, really. I remember asking my first sales manager a question, and he turned around and said, "That's ambiguous." Well, I was under 20. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I'm like, "Well, what's ambiguous?" And then he turned that into a bad thing. So I'm like, "You've got to help me here." There's no guidance in our industry. You just have to get out there and take the bumps and bruises.
Awesome. Fantastic. Tell me something, Deborah. You guys, I believe last year were named number one title reps in the nation for First American Title. Is that correct?
Very, very, very proud of that. Yes.
So, which, by the way, congratulations. Like, I'm so happy. I know we're going to rent a yacht for my birthday next year, but I think we need to rent a yacht for number one in the nation.
I think that's an excellent idea.
I think we really need to do that. But, listen, I think no matter who you are in the industry, and no matter what you think about the industry, First American is a solid name.
Yes,
I think it is the biggest brand in title. So essentially, if you're the number one title rep in the number one company, doesn't that essentially make you the number one freaking title rep like on planet Earth? Like, doesn't
that? I don't like to think of it that way. Yeah,
I love it. I love it. I love it. And you know, I say that because that's my goal. My goal is to be number one at anything that I do, and number one at anything that I put my energy at. So I've got a question for you personally. How does it feel? And then looking back, what advice would you have for me? Starting our journey and starting our journey to be number one in the country.
I think just keep doing what you're doing. I think helping people, I feel like that's kind of what we do now. We just love to meet with people, help them increase their business. Not everybody is right for everybody.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of people who don't like me. There's going to be a lot of people who don't like Tim. There's going to be a lot of people who don't like you. There's going to be not everybody's going to like all of us. It's impossible. Yeah. All we're doing is looking to attract as title people, those agents who want to work with us the right people to be to make us a part of their team. And the other ones, they'll be ready when they're ready, and that's okay too. And I think it's the same thing for anybody. Again, whether you're a lender, a broker, an owner, a title rep, whatever it is, you just attract the right people and you just throw it out there and it comes to you. And if we're all out here to help people, bottom line, that's life. The more people we benefit, the more we benefit.
Yeah, I love it. Deborah, you know, as you walk through any one of our offices, we have two frames in every office. One says, who are we? Which I think the other thing you got to get clear with is who you are and the value you bring. Yes. And the second one is who is our ideal agent? Because you're right, that's what makes our energy so amazing, is that we don't have any negative people at our company. We just have nothing but great people because we attract that. So that's a little tip for all of you that are listening, is you got to get that figured out. Who are you and who is your ideal client? Very, very important.
That's huge.
Deborah, final thoughts. This went by fast. This was like 25 minutes, but I felt like it was like, you know, 5 seconds. Listen, you've obviously accomplished a lot, and I think you're going to accomplish a lot more. And I want to say that, especially as a woman, like, I respect that. To me, respect is like everything. And you know the respect that I have for you, but getting things done is what I respect the most. No excuses, no pain, no crying, no whining. Get it done and figure out a way. Mm-hmm. And I think that America has a disease right now. It really does. It's the whining, freaking crybaby disease. Mm-hmm. And we want to cry and complain about and boohoo about my situation and my problems, when the reality is no one gives a darn about your problems, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to leave us with your final thoughts about how to live a life where you could have a tagline like you have, consider it done, what would your thoughts be? What would your advice be?
It's like I always tell my girlfriends, if you don't wake up every single morning loving your life and loving what you do, change it. It's pretty easy to change. We all write our own story. So if you can write your own story right now, what does that story look like? Mm-hmm. And then just live it. I mean, you can create that. We're in charge of that. We're in control of that. And I think we all become so attached to the outcome of every little thing that we let it take us down. And what does Mike say? Just don't let one bad moment ruin your entire day, which is hard to do. There's a lot of self-talk that goes on. But a couple of things I think are huge important. The music you listen to, I think, is huge. And every now and then, because I'm a country music girl, every now and then I realize, turn that stuff off.
Yes.
Turn it off, put on something like Tony Robbins or something positive that you're actually feeding yourself, Ryan Tracy, whatever it may be. And another thing that I think is really super powerful, and a builder, Don Barber, told me this 25 years ago. He asked me if I backed my car in every night. And I said, no, why would I do that? And he said, because why would you want to start off the day going backwards?
I love it.
That's huge for me. Every morning when I get in my car and I start off going forward, I think about that subconsciously. And I'm like, yeah, I'm starting my day going forward. I'm in charge. I'm in control of my day. So just take control of the day, get out of your own way, and don't be attached to the outcome.
I'm going to leave it at that because it doesn't get any better than that. So Deborah, on behalf of, you know, all of our listeners, I got to tell you, we've had 22 episodes. I'm really excited about this one because you are the epitome of no excuses. You're the epitome of getting the job done. Your story is the epitome of the, I think, American dream. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being who you are, for being here on our show, and for blessing us with your example. So thank you for that, Deborah.
Thank you very much. Let's go make it happen.
We are going to make it happen. If someone wants to get a hold of you, and if our audience wants to start using you for title, which I think that they should, right? How do they get a hold of you? Tell me, you know, your email, Facebook, Instagram. Give me some of that stuff.
All of it. Deborah Title Team on Facebook, cell phone 909-282-2277. We'll answer to anything. Text, emails, DeborahGalley@earthlink.net.
Awesome. And you are on Instagram as well?
Instagram as well. Again, Deborah Title Team. Yes.
Deborah Title Team. Got it.
Yeah.
Guys, that's a wrap. This one was short, quick, and to the point. And I think the best ones are, because as you can tell, when you surround yourself with powerful people want to get straight to the point. So once again, guys, thank you so much. This has been episode number 22 of the Real Estate Sales Show. If you haven't done this already, go to iTunes, or for you Android users, I feel sorry for you, of course, but go to Libsyn and download these apps and just type in Real Estate Sales Show, or type in my name, Danny Morrell, and, you know, subscribe to the show. Give us a 5-star rating and write a review. It helps us tremendously to attract amazing people like the best title rep in the industry, in the country, Deborah Galley. And you know what? Pretty soon, I'm going to have Tim on as a guest, because I want to see his perspective on the entire story. How's that sound?
Tim Galley's the best.
He really is. All right, my friends, just don't mess with his fishing. All right, everybody. That was an inside joke. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.